This podcast is brought to you by the Binge Watchers Mafia. If you like what you hear here, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Binge Watchers Mafia. You can also subscribe to our blog at bingewatchersmafia.blogspot.com and follow us on Twitter at DW Mafia.
Oh my God. This is Frank Malafronte. I'm here with Ankit Singh for the final Game of Thrones recap episode on the Binge Watchers Mafia. The best episode ever. It happened.
That seems like the common consensus. I mean, when I was watching it, I mean, halfway in, it was the best episode ever. Like, it didn't even need the last 20 minutes, and it was... First of all, it was 20 minutes longer than a normal Game of Thrones episode.
Yep.
Which was weird, right? To say the least. And then... Okay, so I've been doing this thing for, like, I don't know, the last, I want to say 4 days, where, you know, when Steph Curry hit that three against OKC and Mike Breen did the double bang?
Where he was
like, Curry with the three, bang, bang! It's like not, it's a lot harder than I do it, but, so that's what I've been doing every time I see or hear something that's, like, cool or, like, out there, or someone kind of, like, owns someone, or someone tells a joke and lands it well. So that's what I say. I said the word bang like 12 times during this episode. There were so many things that this episode did right. I can't even begin to like sum it up. You have to go through it step by step. How much this episode did right.
Yeah. And just did so many incredible things. Paid off on so many things. Gave us some things that I never expected in a million years.
Yeah, because you don't have an edge anymore. There's no books for you to read.
I mean, let's start with where the only place we can start, which is Cersei.
So you want to fuck with Cersei, right? You've been this whole season. You've been telling me how Cersei isn't putting up. How you like me now? That's all I gotta say. You want to fuck with Cersei? Do you really want to fuck? Oh my God, I can't even. While I was watching, I couldn't even. I just imagined the look on your stupid face, dude, when she just blew up everyone. She literally blew her problems away. It was awesome.
Well, let's be clear. All she did was just solve, in quotes, a bunch of problems and then create a bunch of new problems.
I don't see the problems she created.
Okay. Let's get into it then. But first of all, again, I had some people I was watching this episode with who saw this coming, who actually said to me like, oh, like, I saw that they had wildfire under the city. And so this was totally going to happen the whole time. Yeah, absolutely.
You dumb bitch.
Absolutely no fucking way did anyone call this.
Yeah.
In the world. Like,
if
nowhere.
Unless you're like on the cast or like, you know, you're a showrunner. There's no way you knew this. This is so out of left field, I can't even, you know. I thought there was going to be a trial and there was going to be a fight. Not that she would just bomb the entire, you know, what is it? Is it cathedral? What's it called?
It's called the Great Sept of Baelor. It's a cathedral, but it's called the Sept, the Great Sept of Baelor.
Yeah.
Well, so what Cersei anymore. Did, right? She blew up the wildfire caches that were set up by Aerys II, the Mad King.
Okay.
So those caches are all over the city, but the only people that know about them are the people that know about these like secret tunnels that run all through King's Landing.
Right.
So that's why, you know, this was now we know that this is a card that Cersei had to play because she has access to Qyburn and to the little birds.
Right.
But wow. When Lancel first sees the wildfire, I mean, you put it together right there. If you knew.
Oh, I knew.
You saw it. Once you saw those barrels, you knew what was happening.
Yeah. The second I saw the green stuff, I knew what it was and I knew what was about to go down. I just didn't know if it was going to go down right then or they were going to wait till the end of the episode.
And how incredible was that, that you had that 5 minutes or so that you knew what was coming? And yet you kind of had to wait. And then Marjorie kind of saying, or not kind of saying,
literally saying,
just yelling and screaming, "We have to leave. Something isn't right." And you're like, "Oh my God. Oh my God." I literally couldn't stop saying, "Oh my God."
No, I was just like, "Yo, just let Marjorie out, bro. Like, the rest of y'all could die. Marjorie has to live. I want her to live." And then she, that scene when the flames first go up and the Black Sparrow just gets swallowed, it was the most satisfying scene in probably 2 years.
It was unbelievable.
I was so happy.
When they're all pushing and trying to get out.
Yeah.
You know, and you see all the people that are about to get blown to hell.
Right.
Not just Marjorie and the High Sparrow, but Loras, Kevin Lannister, her Cersei's uncle.
Yeah.
Mace Tyrell.
Right.
And basically all of the people in the Faith Militant, or, you know, the people that were following the High Sparrow.
Right.
They're gone. They're just gone.
Yep.
And so then the question is, Ankit, who's left?
I mean, it's Cersei. It's the baddest bitch in the land. It's Cersei. That's all that's left.
So anything you want more to say about the bombing? Well, let's just say. So this was this was a smart move. This was a clever move by Cersei.
I don't know about. Yeah, she got rid of all of her problems in one fell swoop.
If Tommen hadn't killed himself,
yeah,
this would have been amazing for her.
Right. That was the only loss. That was like a necessary evil for her.
Do you think she?
See, this is you're coming across the question that I really want to get into.
Right. So did she? So here's the question.
Right.
Did she think that Tommen would kill himself, or did she? Did she do everything she could have done for him?
Here's as far as I'll go. So my first thought was when Cersei got crowned later in the episode, I was like, did she see this coming? Because I wouldn't put it past her to see it coming, but I would put it past her to sacrifice her own son. I don't think that's something Cersei is capable of.
Well, she was wearing the same outfit that she wore when she was crowned.
That was the
at
thing.
That time.
Yeah, what is that outfit like a special crowning thing?
I think it was clearly like it's designed to make her look more masculine.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like it's clearly not a dress. It looks more like armor in a way. Yeah,
it looks like armor basically.
Yeah. But cool. She did send Sir Gregor, to keep Tommen from going to the trial.
Right.
So she could have just let Tommen go to the trial if she really wanted to kill him.
Yeah. I don't – I'm going to go on the record and say I don't think she saw it coming. She didn't do it on purpose.
So she – yeah. So she made a mistake is what we're saying.
Yeah.
In that case.
Yeah. But she's still – you know, in the long run, it's a very, very big net positive for her.
Okay. I get that this solves a bunch of problems for her. But again, the people I was watching the episode with, I disagreed with very strongly that Cersei has all the power, quote unquote. Westeros is the Seven Kingdoms is a feudal monarchy. There is no standing army. There is no centralized tax system. There is no there's very few national structures. Everything flows from the crown, from the monarchy, but it's all carried out by vassals, which is why you have these great lords who have lesser lords, just like we've seen forever. When if a king wants to raise an army, he has to go and ask his quote-unquote bannermen, who are the Lannisters, the Starks, the Tyrells, and call upon them to raise their own forces. So Cersei has literally no army except for Jaime's army. That's the only one that she has access to, because she literally has no allies left, because she killed the Tyrells. So to say that she is powerful, I would say she's incredibly weak and just put herself in a position to fail.
Well, you've held the stance all along that she was going to fail.
I think that this is exactly what I always said about Cersei. Now, again, she was super clever to blow up that church. Like, that was incredibly baller for her to do that. And yeah. So she has game, but I wonder, the big problem with I've always had with Cersei is that it doesn't seem like she follows through her thinking. Like, she thinks things all the way through. It's like she sees a problem, she solves the problem right in front of her, but she's not thinking like five moves ahead. And you can see that, like, when she killed Robert, obviously that caused a lot more problems than it solved.
Yeah.
The same thing with when she was trying to, you know, check Margaery and the Tyrells, and she spawned the High Sparrow, which then she had to deal with again. So it's like she sets up a good move, but it puts her in a weaker position, it seems like, every time. And I'm saying that this is sort of a part of Cersei's. She has I don't know if it's a compulsion or if it's just a lack of foresight, but her game doesn't improve her standing in a real sense. Like, yes, she is now on the Iron Throne, but she's made the crown so weak that there's almost no point to it. That's my point. Where yeah, if you look at what Littlefinger does, every move makes him more powerful.
Yeah, but you're looking at it from a very privileged point of view, where you could see what's going on all throughout Westeros and even, you know, in Meereen and stuff, right?
I think it's pretty clear that if Cersei kills the Tyrells, that the Tyrells are no longer going to be her allies. And I mean, she's already alienated every other house in the kingdom. So there's no one left.
She has an army.
Yeah, but she doesn't know this, or I don't think she knows this, but that army is now run by Jaime.
Yeah.
And Cersei just did the exact thing that Jaime killed the Mad King over, which was blowing up these caches of wildfire.
Right.
So that seems like the exact opposite of what Jaime wants. And
didn't Jaime say he wants whatever? No, Jaime wants whatever Cersei wants.
I don't believe that. And especially not in this case. I think Jaime's going to say, our son died. You killed everybody. I can't, you know, you're crazy. You're a mad woman.
Did you miss the speech he made?
Again, when we talked about that episode, my comment about that speech was, I think it was designed to make Edmir do what he wanted. He does love Cersei. There's no question about that. But Jaime and Cersei are not linked the way they were when this series started. Jaime's like a different person now. And if you saw the look that Jaime gave Cersei, there was there was terror there. There was foreboding. That was not a look like he was happy with this turn of events. So I struggle to see how the two of them are going to get along now. Your thoughts?
Man, I struggle to see how Cersei was going to get out of her predicament.
Right. So she, you know, maybe it was, hey, again, it all kind of centers around Tommen. But yeah, it's certainly her predicament. Yeah, it's difficult to see where her move was. This was, again, I'm not sure this move.
I mean, she literally went nuclear.
Yeah, yeah.
She went nuclear. So.
And then crowning herself again. It's just so. Why would you crown yourself queen?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like she's wanted that for the longest time.
Oh yeah, always. She's wanted that forever.
Right.
But just because no one was there to stop her doesn't mean that anyone's actually believes her.
Wasn't there a prophecy? This is just getting back to me. There was a prophecy that all of Cersei's children would die, right?
Right. Gold their crowns and gold their shrouds. It was the same prophecy that said that the king would have many children and Cersei would have three.
Right.
But there was no prophecy that Cersei would become queen. Would become queen in her own right, as opposed to a queen consort.
So maybe then Cersei did. That's probably the best argument for Cersei did see it coming, right? Because she knew that her children would die. So it wouldn't be impossible for her to think that her child would kill himself over this.
I struggle to see how she would have. Cersei's only redeeming quality was that she loved her children.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that always made her human.
She didn't directly kill her child here.
Yes, she did not. And she, I was shocked that Tommen would kill himself like that.
And she did everything in her power to protect her children.
Yes.
So, I mean...
But she failed. So yeah, that's where this comes down to what we need to see next is... Is there a scene where Cersei like breaks down and says like, I can't believe Tommen's dead and I did everything I could to protect him, but also the reason why Tommen died in a very real sense is because instead of having Gregor protect Tommen and keep him, she would say protect him from outside people. She didn't think that he would kill himself. I don't believe, but removing him from Tommen's room and sending him to go and torture this nun directly caused his death in one way.
Directly is a stretch, and I think you know it's a stretch.
Right. I kind of backtracked as soon as I said it.
Yeah.
So it certainly wasn't everything she could have done to protect Tommen. Everything she would have done to protect Tommen would have been to keep Gregor in that room.
But did you see Cersei talk after Tommen had died and after she found out Tommen, it wasn't the same. It's not the same Cersei. You're seeing a much colder Cersei, which is hard to do, to be honest. But she just seems like she's just stopped caring. It's apathy. It's all I see with her.
Yeah, maybe just, yeah, she has nothing left to humanize her anymore.
Yeah, she has nothing left to lose anymore. You have to understand it that way, like, she has lost everything she's probably ever cared for besides Jaime, right? And
yeah.
Even him at this point, she's probably like, all right, he's probably going to have to fight, so he's probably going to die. She has nothing left to lose. There is no enemy more dangerous than someone who has nothing to lose. You can't predict what they're going to do.
Well, I can predict that she has very little that she can do. She can't get anybody else to be blown up by wildfire. You can only do that once.
Right.
So, Cersei, again, I just think crowning yourself is just... What's the word I'm looking for? It's a feeble gesture. It's crazy to think that putting a crown on your head and sitting on the Iron Throne is feeble.
Yeah.
But there's no other way to look at it when she doesn't have anything that actually makes her powerful.
Yeah.
And her dad actually said in the past that... You know, if you think that a crown makes you a king, you're a fool.
That's right.
So, Cersei, some strong parts, obviously, and it's kind of some weak parts.
Yeah, but it's only weak until you see her next move, because Cersei's as cold-blooded and as, you know, maniacal as they come. So, I wouldn't put it past her to keep on doing what she's been doing. The way it looks right now is like, oh, her reign is coming to an end, or like she's going to die sooner rather than later. And like, you know, she's not going to be a part of like the conversation going forward. And I just completely disagree. You do not count out truly, truly terrible people who are capable of absolutely anything. You can't count those people out.
You're right. I already counted her out once, and yeah, she blew up all of her enemies at the same time in a
I was surprised she didn't
unbelievable turn of events.
It's you know, it really is astounding how many times people count, not how many, you know, times we counted, but like to what degree people counted her out when they knew what she was capable of.
Which is why I just think, now here's a question.
Yeah.
Is this in the books? Or is this Game of Thrones? This is one of those things that we have no clue if this is in the books or not.
I feel like that's a leading question, because I think you think it's
not. I don't have any idea, because it's something that George would do, but I don't know if he thought of it. Maybe he did. Maybe this is because it makes sense from the standard of that, like, Cersei is becoming the Mad King, right? And by doing exactly what Jaime tried to stop, it gets very poetic in that way. But did George think of it or not? That's what I wonder.
You'd have to tell me. You've read the books.
I wouldn't put it past him. He's a genius.
I mean, he thought of the Hodor thing, so.
That's true.
Ever since that, I've given it up, man. Everything is him.
Now I need to read this book more than ever, because now I need to know the real version of this season.
Have they put out a date yet? Have they put out the date yet?
He doesn't work like that. Like, he's said so many times that if he has a deadline, he just works slower. Like, the worst thing you can do is give him a deadline. He just needs a lot of freedom to write.
So how long after he publishes do you press the buy button on Amazon?
There'll be a pre-order, for Christ's sakes. Okay. There'll be a pre-order, and I will be all over that. All right. But then here's the thing. I did order it on Amazon last time for book five, and it wasn't going to come until the next day. I couldn't even wait. I went and bought another copy. I couldn't wait one day after I'd already paid for the book. So I have two copies of book five. And that's – so maybe I can't. Maybe I just have to go to a bookstore.
Yeah.
Because I can't wait until freaking Amazon Prime shows up.
Yeah.
So slow. 2 days.
Also, a quick shout out to a lot of people on my – probably all my Facebook friends who listen to this podcast. You guys are doing a great job of not spoiling stuff. You guys have really learned your lesson. I appreciate that.
Nice job, guys.
Yeah.
I specifically texted you and said, do not go on Twitter.
You are the worst, though.
How is that the worst? That's the best.
Dude, every time something happens on the show, you either call me or text me.
It's the finale. I'm assuming you're watching it live.
I don't watch anything live. Just take that as fact. Unless
Hashtag do your job, Ankit.
Unless it's a sporting event, I do not watch live. I like watching things on my own, on my own time.
Wow.
Well, but I did watch it that night, after you texted me.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, no regrets, obviously, because it was the best episode ever. But.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's everything I have on Cersei.
Yeah, but I will remind you, and I will continue to say this until, you know, she's actually dead. Do not ever count out Cersei.
I won't make that mistake again.
She's a bad woman. She is a bad, bad woman.
Clearly, Tyrion is going to kill her. Also,
okay. Also, this episode was great for women everywhere. There's just so much feminism going. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag Game of Thrones.
Hashtag winning.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Girl power all over the place.
Yeah, with that and, like, the Elizabeth Warren thing going on, dude, girls are taking over the world.
All right, speaking of women, let's go to Dorne for a second.
I was waiting for it. Dorne!
Because this is dumb, but what are you going to do?
Dorne made two appearances this season, in the premiere and the finale.
What'd you think of this?
I thought it was fine. It was shocking, but I was just happy to see the Sand Snakes again. I have a crush on one of them. I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, right. That's how great they are, that you can't tell them apart even though you have a crush on them.
Dude, yeah. It took me a while to learn everyone's names on Game of Thrones. And Dorne hasn't gotten the attention that I think it deserves, and everyone disagrees with me.
I think this wasn't even about Dorne. It was all about Olenna Tyrell, the Queen of Thorns.
Right.
This is her.
First of all, how bad is she? I mean, she is just a bad lady.
Oh, she is so bad.
Yeah.
In the best way.
In a good way. Whenever I say someone's bad, like, it's like, you're not bad, you're bad. You are a bad woman.
Yeah, she is.
A bad woman.
And what'd you think of the Varys teleport?
How does he do that? Can maesters just fly?
Unexplainable. Varys is not a maester, but yeah, there's no way to explain it. I keep saying I'm not going to bring it up anymore, and it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
Because he literally just went from the equivalent of he's in China, and then he's in New York, and then he's back to China in like 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't matter. It's just, they just do whatever they need to do for the story. Because I said this last night, and I think I read this on Twitter. If this was the books, there'd be like a 90-page journey of Varys going to Dorne, and then another 90 pages going back. So in Game of Thrones, they just say, fuck it, we're not going to do that.
The fact that he got back by the end of the episode was the craziest thing I've ever
seen. Just being on that ship, I thought it was bad enough that he teleported to Dorne in one episode. But to go back to Meereen.
You know what I think? I think Danny just sent him a dragon. He was like, all right, you go get my boy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he got him. And then he's back. I don't even know how fast dragons fly, but I'm assuming they can fly that fast.
I don't know. 60 miles an hour?
Yeah, it's... so.
Like a bird? Like a big bird?
Yeah, exactly. So definitely not fast enough.
Yeah.
But still, that was awesome.
All right, let's go north. Talk about our boy.
The King of the North!
The Bam! King in the North.
That was so good. Oh my god. First of all, shout out to that little girl. Forgot her name again. Don't really care what her name is. She's a boss. Another big movement for hashtag feminism, hashtag Game of Thrones.
Lyanna Mormont did have another great scene.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Lyanna Mormont.
Okay.
And what do you think of this? Jon doesn't want to be king. Let's be clear.
Right.
Jon doesn't really even want to be alive.
I think, yeah, Jon, he's looking to die. He wants to die.
But so even though he's gotten everything he ever wanted.
Yeah. Also, I think this is the best he's ever looked. I like his entire look. With, like, the hair tied back, and, like, the wolf on his shoulder or whatever. This is the best he's ever looked.
The scar?
Yeah, the scar.
Scar's pretty dope.
Yeah. Also, do you want to talk about Bran's vision into Jon Snow, or do you want to...
I was going to do Jon and Sansa first, and then I was going to do... Because I need to explain this to people, like in detail.
Right, because this is a theory that Game of Thrones book readers have had for a while. And I guess we'll get into that. But let's stay in the moment. Let's stay in the north. Here's my question. How riled up were you when they started chanting?
It was a great moment.
Yeah.
I was overcome with a sense of fear as soon as it happened. Because it's clearly hearkening back to the first time they crowned a king in the north.
Yeah.
And we know how that went.
Right.
And so it was a mixed set of emotions. There was a lot of happiness, a lot of pride, and a lot of fear and foreboding.
I mean, but fear only on your part. Nobody else looked scared.
Did John look scared?
Not really. He looked ready. I felt like he wanted, at the beginning of the episode, he didn't want to be alive because I don't think he knew what his purpose was. And now he does.
I wonder.
Yeah. So I think he know, like, this is what he was brought back to life for. Now, like, you know, this is what it's all about.
Yeah. So then that puts us in a situation to talk about Jon and Sansa's relationship. Because the scene before that, it seemed very clear that Jon was saying, Sansa, we have to work together.
Yeah.
Sansa, you're the Lady of Winterfell, not me.
Yes.
You're the one that saved us at the end, not me.
Right.
And Sansa is still being a little lying bitch. I called Sansa a bitch. I did. Yeah, I did it again. And there's a reason.
That's who he is, man.
I'm very, very, very concerned now. Very concerned. I don't get it. Yes, great. She apologized for not telling John.
Yeah.
She did not give a good reason why she did it. But she apologized. And it seemed like she was ready to reconcile. And they were on the same side. And then she goes and does the same damn shit again. Why?
I've told you this for a very, very long time. And I think I said this way before anybody else knew this, right? Sansa, at her core, at her very core, is a dumb broad. That's who she
is. It can't be that simple.
It come on. You know, the greatest answers are just that simple. She is stupid. That's it. That's what she is.
I mean, clearly this is just not going to end well. There's no way this goes right.
No, absolutely not.
That's dumb.
It is dumb. But she's dumb. You can't expect dumb people to do smart stuff. Then they'd be called smart people.
She just doesn't learn.
I've been saying it for a long time, Frank. I've been saying it for a long time.
I couldn't believe it. I was flabbergasted. Why is she protecting Littlefinger? Because she's dumb. It just seems that she can't be that dumb.
But you know, the problem is Littlefinger's not dumb at all, and he's very good at manipulating stupid people.
But he didn't manipulate her. He didn't say don't tell John.
Yeah, I know. I don't. But yet she didn't. I don't know. I have no idea.
I just don't get it.
I don't know what's going on in her head. I don't know if she still believes in that the fairy tales. I'm lost. I don't know. But I
saw that Theon could step aside for his sister. If Sansa is worried about Jon being in charge, I'm sure Jon would have said that you can be in charge, Sansa.
Jon didn't want to be in charge. If Sansa wanted that, she could have had it.
I cannot square the circle. Because I'm not willing to accept that it's stupidity. I don't even get her reasons. It's completely incomprehensible to me.
Is there a reason out there that you will accept? Let's go with that.
There would be. It's one of those things, right? Like, what would convince you? I don't know. But
what's
price? I'm not incapable of change. I just don't understand.
No,
I'm a stupid one.
But you, as you know, you're a creature of habit, and once you have those habits that have formed, right? You're not so. It's really hard to change a habit.
And it's hard to see that everything that Sansa does is her being a person of limited intelligence.
No, that's my habit. Your habit is you think Sansa has growth. You think Sansa, year over year, grows more than other people, and that she is going to become this thing, right?
I thought she was going to grow up. Yes.
Right. At some point, you always thought of Sansa as a child, whereas I always thought of her as a woman who is perfectly capable of making her own decisions, but continuously makes the stupidest of choices.
All right. I can't back that up. At this point, I cannot back up my.
And this is the woman who I thought was MVP of this season so far. But you know, she, you know.
Way to go, Sansa. Yeah.
So, but you know, at the end of, just remember that at her core, at you know, her most inner regions, she is a dumb broad.
Ugh. But
that's who she is.
It's just painful. It's so freaking painful. Let's move on. I can't do it anymore. I can't.
So far, you're 0-2 with Cersei and Sansa. So
give me a half for Cersei.
Because
she's Cersei. Yeah, right. We've been over it. But Cersei,
she's not in the best of places. She, you know.
Yeah, and she's just following the same pattern that she's always had, in my opinion. Okay. What about Melisandre leaving?
Irrelevant, don't even really want
doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay.
But all
I'm
I'll
not
say
willing
is
to accept they, that, they, but I don't care gave, about Melisandre.
Right, I don't give a shit. All I'll say, they gave Davos a really good scene, which I love.
God, I just love that guy. I just love the Onion Knight. He's the best.
It's so hard not to like Davos.
Unimpeachably good person. You love it. You gotta love it. It's the one thing I could say is, why is he just, he's like attached himself to Jon Snow now. Is it because of the White Walkers? He's never seen the White Walkers.
Yeah, but he believes them.
I wonder what, he believes Jon about them.
Yeah. You gotta think, he's with like all the wildlings now, and they're all saying that they exist or whatever, so.
Yeah. So. You know, cause like in the books he's got a whole family in the South. He's got a wife. He's got other kids.
Yeah.
But I guess in the show, he doesn't. Like, all of his kids are dead, and they never really talk about his wife.
Yeah. So, I don't know about all that, but yeah.
I guess he's just a free agent, and he's just signed with the Winterfell team.
He signed with the King of the North.
Huh.
Probably the baddest man in Westeros.
Speaking of the baddest man in Westeros, we got to talk about R plus L equals J, which was finally confirmed.
Yes.
After over a decade of speculation.
All right. Yeah.
This is the theory that got the creators of Game of Thrones to convince George Martin to give them his story. They sat down and they told him what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And George asked them, who is Jon Snow's mother?
Right.
And they said, Lyanna Stark. And that's the story of how they got to make Game of Thrones. Right. Is that they knew enough about the story that they gave him the correct answer. And this was in 2006, maybe.
So was it like a pitch thing?
They were pitching him. This was a pitch meeting. They were at lunch and they were talking about what they were thinking about of the series. And George Martin was always hesitant to have his story be told on screen, because usually people had come to him, this is before movies, because, you know, Game of Thrones was printed 20 years ago now. It was always a movie. It was, oh, we're just going to do a movie about Daenerys, or we're just going to do a movie about, like, one storyline. And he never wanted to do that. So he always wanted to make, if it was ever going to be a screen adaptation, he wanted it to be the way Game of Thrones is. And he wanted to put it in the hands of people that actually understood the material. So this was his test, and they passed, according to legend. Now, why is Lyanna Stark Jon Snow's mother? And who is Lyanna Stark? Lyanna Stark is Ned Stark's younger sister. The Robert's Rebellion started because Rhaegar Targaryen, who is Daenerys's older brother, who's much older than her, maybe 10 years older than she was, because she was a baby when the war ended. So he's probably 20 years older than her. He kidnapped Lyanna Stark, and that set off a series of events that led to the rebellion and led to his eventual death. This is Rhaegar Targaryen, who is the Mad King's son, Daenerys' older brother. So he captured her, and then in the course of the war, impregnated her and brought her to this tower in the south, somewhere between Highgarden, which is in the south, and Dorne. It's called the Tower of Joy. And so now we found out that this is a confirmed theory, because this is something that people had always thought was possible, and there were a lot of signs. I don't want to get into all of them, but I'm just giving you guys the basis of the theory. And so why did Ned have to lie about who Jon Snow's real parents were? The reason is because Robert hated all the Targaryens for capturing Lyanna. Rhaegar especially. So Lyanna thought, and she said this to Ned in the scene, that Robert would kill the child. So Ned had to lie and say it was his bastard son, instead of it being Lyanna and Rhaegar's bastard son. So that's what the scene was showing when they went from the scene and they had the picture of the baby's face, and then they go straight to Jon Snow.
Also, just out of curiosity, and this is me just throwing a wrench in this whole thing, the baby had blonde hair.
Okay, yeah. Babies can have, like, lighter hair or darker hair. Mm-hmm. That's not indicative of their final pigment.
Okay. I was just curious. I thought that was kind of weird.
I would be incredibly shocked if they would show this scene and then,
oh, no,
this wasn't true.
There is no doubt in my mind that that's Jon Snow.
Okay.
The only doubt in my mind is they couldn't afford a baby with black hair.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's something that happens with babies that you can have different color hair.
Okay.
So this is it. Jon Snow is half Stark, half Targaryen. Literally, part fire, part ice. And she is Daenerys's half nephew.
So he'd be a half nephew. So they do share some blood.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's the only other Targaryen. He's the only person with any Targaryen blood that we know of in the world, other than her.
Right. And here, the one last question. Does anyone except for Bran know that?
Nobody. Except for him and this other guy named Howland Reed, who is the guy who goes with Ned Stark and stabs the knight in the back at the end of that scene. He is the lord of the bog. It's called the Neck, which is like this marshy bog. Mira Reed is his daughter. She's the one that's with Bran right now. So her father was friends with Ned, and he is still alive and would be the only other person who was there and would know that, obviously, that, you know, Ned didn't have a son before he went in the tower. So after he left the tower, since they're the only two people that were there other than this nurse, Lyanna dies, so he keeps it a secret. And he's the only person that would know, but we might never see him at this point now. It might be that, you know, Bran will eventually tell Jon about this. Yeah. So it's been confirmed, and this is crazy. I was incredibly excited to see this actually be confirmed, even though all the signs had always pointed to it. But here we go. Some people were saying, oh, does this mean that Jon and Daenerys won't get married now? I'd say it doesn't really affect it too much, because the Targaryens were known to wed full brothers and full sisters together. So doesn't really change the fact that it's very possible that they could still get married. It also means that Jon might be riding a dragon, because you need to have Targaryen blood to ride these dragons. So okay. How excited are you about this?
I'm dude, super excited.
There's no way to make Jon Snow any more cool.
Right.
And for him to be part Targaryen.
Does he, can he survive fire too?
Possibly.
Has that ever been tested? Have we seen any of that?
No. But also, very few Targaryens possess that ability.
Oh, so it's not like a universal trait?
No, it's not. But it's an interesting idea.
Cool.
So here we go. I'm just blown away. And now that I've gotten through it, so now hopefully everyone understands what R plus L equals J was. This thing that they might have saw on the internet for the last 15 years. Game of Thrones finally puts it together for us. Yeah. Super excited. And just shows you like how much fun it can be to think about these theories ahead of time and finally have them proven. It's just a great day to be a Game of Thrones fan.
Yeah, it's so great that you have to wait another year for more episodes. But let's move on.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Arya.
The new bad bitch.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't think she could do the face thing.
I mean, the things that I think versus reality is like, it's not even, you know, it's not even fun for me to think anymore, because I don't know, and I openly admit I don't know. So it's much better for me to react to stuff than to like anticipate.
Yeah,
is the only way I'll say it. But first, let's talk a little bit about Jaime and Walder Frey, because I loved that exchange, right? And I love. Promised me it would be, and I'm very happy for that.
Okay, so let's talk about it. I was kind of gonna breeze past that. I'm not sure if it was worth mentioning and all the other crazy things that happened.
Yeah,
so it was good. Because why? Because Jaime says to Walder, like, what do we need you for?
Which is what I've wondered for a very long time. Like, why does Walder Frey exist? Why do the Lannisters allow him to exist?
because he killed the Starks for them.
Yeah, but that's all he did. That's all he ever. I don't know why they need them anymore. But I've always thought, and also you don't see many scenes where Jaime asserts his power. You just don't see it.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see it.
It definitely threw Walder for a loop.
Yeah.
Kind of took him off of his high horse pretty damn quickly.
Also, why was Arya, when she had the mask on, looking at Jaime?
Good question.
Like, what was that about? Did Jaime had like this look on his face when he was looking at her? It was like weird.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's something going on there that I want to know, but you know.
Now, could be Arya just kind of playing the part of a servant girl.
Yeah.
Who sees the beautiful, the magnificent, the incredibly handsome Jaime Lannister.
You have to go into three adjectives there?
Oh, yeah. One is not enough when it comes to Jaime.
Yeah.
Bronn said so himself.
Yeah, Bronn's the man also.
Doesn't even have to do anything.
So you just got to sit there, right? Bronn's the best. I hope he never dies.
Ladies, can I introduce you to Bronn of the Blackwater? Sir Bronn of the Blackwater.
Have you met Bronn? That was good. I hope Bronn joins Jon Snow army. That'd be awesome.
I would love for Jon to meet Bronn. That would be very cool. I would really like that.
Let's get to the real thing. When you saw Arya, what was your first thought?
Just, again, oh my god.
Yeah.
I just didn't expect it at all.
First of all, the teleportation there is real.
Oh, for real?
Oh, so real.
But yeah, like, so I just didn't even expect that she would. Maybe I didn't think she was even going to show up again this season. And for her to just do that, let's be real, bake his oldest sons in a meat pie,
yeah,
and then feed that to him, and then kill him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I could have swore she stared into the camera while, like, they were, like, you know, like, rolling out when they were ending the scene. It was the most assassin-like thing I have ever seen. It was so badass. It was equivalent, in my mind, to Cersei just sipping wine while she watches the cathedral blow up.
Yeah. Arya just turned it up to 11.
Yeah, she went Super Saiyan. She did it. That this is Super Saiyan 1.
We're just gonna be in every scene. We're gonna be looking around and be like, "Is that Arya? Is that Arya?"
Anytime you see a beggar, a servant, or someone, or like a priest, anyone who just blends into the background, that's Arya.
That's scary, dude.
That's Arya just killing it.
This is Game of Thrones is now a horror movie.
Yeah. Well, it's not a horror movie.
Anywhere.
We're for everyone she kills. So.
Yeah. Incredibly cool.
Yeah.
I always liked Walder Frey as like a more... He was a very disgusting villain. He was not a very... He wasn't psychotic. He was just kind of just an asshole.
Yeah.
And I like that. Some of the villains are just bad people.
Yeah.
Walder Frey was one of those people. He always had good lines, but... Yeah, Walder Frey, good guy, now dead. Was happy to see him go because now Arya is a Super Saiyan, exactly like you said. I didn't think she was anywhere close, but they just skipped all the intermediate steps, and now she's a super assassin.
Yeah.
And, yeah, are you not afraid for Cersei now? Where do you think she's going next, dude?
Fuck if I know.
I know.
She will not kill Cersei. I'll say that.
Are you sure?
I mean, she might at the end, but not now.
You better watch out. Any scene that Cersei's in, just be looking over her shoulder.
Yeah, well, Cersei's safe for a year. So.
Oh my god, Cersei!
Oh,
she's right behind you! Look out!
No! Don't drink the wine! That's not good wine! Yeah, I don't know. How far is where Jaime was from King's Landing?
Maybe 500 miles.
Cause he got there in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's too ridiculous. It's just like, you know, Arya is a super assassin who can teleport anywhere in the world now.
That's
kill
cool.
people. And Varys is a super spy/diplomat who can do the same thing.
Okay, and I have another question, which I don't think he'll know the answer to, but I'll ask it anyway. Does Arya just have, like, a pocketbook that has all these faces in it? How does she get the face?
I don't know. I thought you had to take it off the wall.
So did I.
But then Jaqen H'ghar just changes his face.
Yeah. At will.
Yeah, and then they introduce the whole physical faces thing.
Right.
And that's what Arya does. She pulls off the face. That's not what Jaqen does when he changes his face.
Yeah.
In the end of season two, when he just disappears.
Right.
He just goes whoop with it over his face with his hand, and oh, he's got a different face now. So I guess that's suspension of disbelief as well. She's Arya again.
Maybe once you're like, you've gone Super Saiyan or whatever, like the Hall of Faces is just like your database of faces you can use.
Interesting.
And you can magically just pick which one you want and just whop. Like she can't be Walder Frey now if she wants, you know what I mean?
I guess not, yeah.
Because his face isn't on the wall.
Good question. Good question.
That's the way I'm looking at it from now until forever.
That was incredibly satisfying. I think we all love that.
Oh, that was great.
Very surprising. Let's finish with Dany and Tyrion.
This was some money stuff. This was prime time fucking performing right here.
That first scene. All right, let's start with Dario. Do we care?
Not real.
I don't really care.
You always root for Dario.
Now I don't really care, though.
It's hard not to root for such a rough rider. You know what I mean? He's just a ride or die kind of dude.
He's a real deal guy, for sure.
He's like Tristan Thompson or Matthew Dellavedova. Like, I
don't know. Dellavedova is pretty much a clown, so.
Right. It's just one has a lot of talent, one has no talent. You know what I mean? But, like, they both fight really, really hard, and they always got your back at the end of the day. So you root for those people, and you definitely want them on your team, and you definitely don't want them on the team you're going to go up against.
I did feel bad because Dany just basically discarded him. She just said, "Well, I have no use for you anymore." That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, but that's the way she said it. That's not. I don't think she meant that. Like I think she says that she loves him or whatever.
But then she said she didn't feel anything for him later.
That's just Dany, because, you know, that's just Dany becoming the cold-hearted killer that she's going to be at some point.
Dario was a very honest person. He had very few desires. And he actually accomplished everything he wanted in a very real sense, because he had Daenerys and he got to kill people for her. And now that's all over. Yeah. Sucks. I mean, you know, he's not a main character. It's not that important, but.
Yeah, but he's going to be the enforcer and Marine. There's a bunch of broads there. They look pretty good. Whatever, he'll be all right.
I guess, yeah, this is probably his last scene. At least he got to go into retirement, because very few people on Game of Thrones get to go into retirement.
Yeah, there's not a lot of riding off into the sunset.
Yeah, you usually get got if you're done on Game of Thrones. And I'm pretty sure Dario is finished.
I also don't think he's done.
You think he comes back for another scene?
I think he'll if, like, Danny's in trouble, like, he'll show up somewhere.
Hmm.
You know, it happens.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that he will be safe.
Maybe it'll be a third actor playing him now, which would be even weirder.
Do you think Dany gives good pensions? Like her Unsullied?
She seems very generous.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seems like a good leader.
They get a lot of money for prostitutes.
In terms of, like, she's been a leader for such a short amount of time, she doesn't really have the right head for it yet.
Yeah.
So. Also, where did she get the thousands of ships?
I don't know.
Am I missing something?
She got a bunch of them from the fleet that she captured.
She got 100.
Not from that's the Iron Fleet.
Okay.
The other ships are supposed to be from
the
fleet of the Wise Masters that she, because she only destroys one of the ships.
Okay.
So all of those ships theoretically is supposed to be 100 plus whatever number of ships the Masters had, minus one. They didn't say how many there were.
That's cool. And I guess it doesn't take long to put dragons on all the ships.
I guess, yeah, to just die, whatever. Again, let's not you know, nitpick every little thing, because it's just too much at this point. It's clearly they do not give a fuck about.
Like, they saved it all for one episode when they could have easily just, you know, prolonged. Like, they could have given it to us one by one so we've had some time to digest.
But this is the finale. This is what they do. And this was clearly the best finale ever.
Oh, but it was the best episode ever.
Yeah.
They usually don't save their best episodes for 10. They usually put them off at 8 or 9. Right? 8 or 9 is usually the best episode of every season.
Yeah.
And I thought 9 would have been the best episode of this season, but, you know, it wasn't.
They had
different plans.
Did you cry when she pinned?
Absolutely. If you didn't cry, you're a fucking idiot.
You're a cold-hearted person.
Yeah.
If you did not shed a tear when that happened.
That was the most real scene. That was equivalent to me to Will Smith, like, raising his hands after getting the job in The Pursuit of Happiness.
I'm breaking down right now.
I
need a minute.
It was just one of those scenes. It's like, yes, if you just drink and talk, your dreams will come true.
Tyrion Lannister, I name you Hand of the Queen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Also, what a savage move by Daenerys. Like, it already declaring herself the victor.
Yeah.
Like, that is a savage, savage move. That is some supreme level of cockiness.
I'd be cocky too. Did you see that fleet?
Yeah, if I could walk through fire and if I had three dragons and was Unsullied and a whole bunch of other people, yeah, I'd be pretty cocky too.
The title of the New York Times recap was called Setting Up the Endgame.
Yeah.
And nothing set up the endgame more than that final shot. With that and those dragons.
Also, I would put my life savings on it would be them sailing somewhere. It would be someone sailing somewhere would be the parting shot. Because I think they've done that 3 seasons in a row. I think it was like the 4th season was, or the 3rd season was Arya sailing.
Yeah.
To the many-faced god, the whatever, and I forgot what it was last season. But it was water was involved. Oh no, last season was Daenerys. Being surrounded by horses.
Yep.
Which was stupid.
Quite a journey in one season.
They make you feel that way, but it was literally the last 3 episodes were 90% of the plot development. I think.
It was I'm not gonna give them, you know, I'm not gonna throw shade on them because of the way they put together the season. I thought everything was great. We don't even remember the Hodor scene, which was incredible, because we've seen so many incredible things since that.
I brought up the Hodor.
You did brought it up, but I didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
I don't even remember it anymore.
Well, clearly you do.
I do, but geez, talk about getting knocked down the list from where you stood 5 weeks ago, where I was like, wow, that was the best scene ever. Yeah. No more.
Here. This is, in my mind, the best season of Game of Thrones. Now we have some perspective because we've seen it all, right?
Yeah.
And maybe we need to watch it one more time. I don't really do that kind of thing. I'm more of a one-time kind of guy. But maybe I will for this because I like the idea of binge-watching it just to get that aspect of it. So maybe I'll donate a weekend to it and just watch the whole thing in one day.
In a couple months, whatever. Maybe I'll do it again.
Right. I think it's – I'm writing a note right now that I want to watch these last 4 or 5 episodes before season 7 starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's going to be big. So, but yeah, this is definitely in my mind right now, without any, you know, research or stats to back it up, just off of an initial gut feeling, this is the greatest season of Game of Thrones yet.
I thought it was basically flawless. I have very few qualms with it. Like, I could definitely nitpick things, but there was just so much that was good about it that it's very difficult to nitpick.
Well, when there's a lot of things blowing up, it's usually pretty good, you know? There was a lot of wars. There was a lot of fights. There were a lot of good one-liners, to be honest. And they've killed off a lot of dead weight, which helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just I thought very few scenes fell flat. I was very engaged. I thought we had a lot to talk about. I don't know what we would have done if we'd had a recap of season 2 or season 4, which are very weak.
Yeah.
It would have been hard to do. But I guess there was a nice line to say in each one of those episodes too. But this is head and shoulders the best. This is clearly like the Emmy favorite over anything else that could be out there. I'd be very shocked if it didn't win for this, because this, in terms of quality, again, I think is head and shoulders above the other seasons.
Right. And here's what I'll say. Here's the question I'll pose. This was the greatest season ever. Is this the greatest episode ever? And a lot of people say yes, but I think that's prisoner of the moment. There have been a lot of great episodes in Game of Thrones, right?
There's been more. There was more in this episode to love than any other.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's been so long since I've watched some of these episodes. If anything could come close to all of the emotions I felt in the course of an hour and 20 minutes.
The only thing I'll go back to is, in my mind, and this is purely my opinion, and this will never change, the Oberyn fight, Viper Mountain was the greatest episode of maybe TV I've ever seen. Right?
It's possible. That's a good one.
And I don't think I'll ever change my mind. But this is the first time I've actually reconsidered changing my mind. Because this episode, first of all, this episode was on steroids because it was 20 minutes longer. No other episode, this was an hour 20. So that's cheating in and of itself.
That's true.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 60 minutes. This was 80 minutes. So.
But if anything came close to the complete reversal of fortune you felt in that minute when it goes from Oberyn winning to Oberyn losing.
Yeah.
It was Cersei blowing up the cathedral. Jon Snow being a Targaryen.
Yeah.
Arya killing someone. Like, those were all, again, it's just incredible, incredible, incredible moments. And to have them all in one episode.
One episode.
Even if you cut out one of those and you said, okay, fine, they were cheating if it's 20 minutes longer. So take out all the amazing Dany and Tyrion things. Still the best episode ever.
I said it at the beginning. You just leave the Cersei scene, and it's still one of the best episodes.
I think that might have been the greatest thing that's ever happened on the show.
That's the great thing that's happened on any show.
It might be. It might be the greatest thing that's ever happened in television.
When do you see like a building just dissolve into itself and just go up in smoke like that? That's crazy.
And everything that led up to it.
Yeah, like, oh, that was a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch.
Really was. I'm just floored. I'm floored. We might have to have a whole nother episode a week from now where I come up with a whole new list of things to talk about just from this episode that I have to think through. I'm glad we got an extra day. And that we're cheating and going longer on this episode, because there was no effing way this was going to be a half-hour episode.
Right, we're not really cheating, though.
We wanted to keep it short for the people, but not this time, guys.
I didn't want to do a two-part episode, but here's what I will do, right? I think we need to take a little time to digest everything that's happened and read other media outlets, because we have a job to do that we still haven't really done. And which is a question everyone's been asking and everyone wants to know. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Right? What happens now? So, and I don't want to, answer that question yet, because I don't think I have, like, the perspective and, like, I don't have everything I need yet. I'm not fully juiced.
Yeah.
So
I'm not ready for it either. So yeah,
I think listeners, you can wait. We might do that. Now we have time. Now we have like 6 months, but I would like to do it sometime later this month or next month.
Thank you so much for those of you, especially who've been with us since episode 1. We really appreciate your support. We hope you'll keep following the other content that we're putting out on the Binge Watchers Mafia. There's going to be a lot of other great stuff. Ankit's writing an article as we speak. Mr. Yep. Robot is coming up very soon. And there's going to be a lot more to come from here. This was a great start for what we hope to do on the podcast network. So don't unsubscribe. I think you'll be impressed. So for Ankit Singh, I'm Frank Malafranti. Thank you for listening to the Binge Watchers Mafia Recap podcast. And we'll see you next year.